This is what we find in Luke Acts, in the section known as Acts. One of the women was named Lydia. She was devout, a worshiper of God. She carefully listened to us. She was from the city of Thyatira. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Thyatira. And was a dealer in purple cloth. Today, I want to give you some background information about my life. You may or may not have heard some of this before. There will be personal detail, but I will also try to offer a perspective from the 30,000-foot level, say what was going on in the world. However, what I will say is not about me or my life or my times. What I am about to say concerns the Bible. I will try to bring some reality to the way we read Scripture. Therefore, I need to address this reality. The Bible is not a book. It is a collection of books gathered, compiled by people who lived in a multitude of cultures across 10 centuries, a millennia. By definition, it is complex. And it is absolutely clear in our culture, and because of our culture, some people are blissfully unaware or willfully ignorant of those origins and that complexity. There are those who insist the Bible was assembled in a singular culture and with no earthly influences. And our culture is just flat out wrong on that. Now, let me say something about my life. I was born during the administration of President Harry Truman, his first administration, 1947 to be exact. I hope this is obvious. In 1947, the world was very different than it is today. I know some want to return to those thrilling days of yesteryear, as in, make America, well, you know. Here's what I think. It's always inappropriate to reduce life to a slogan or a cartoon. Indeed, I personally do not see the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, etc. as any kind of golden era. If it was great back then, that certainly was not my experience. Why? I have said this before. I am a ghetto kid. When I was about 5, as I looked out the window of my family home, I saw someone being mugged. I got my mom, who dashed to the street, brought the victim inside, and called the police. I mail letters only inside the post office. Why? It is a reaction to my childhood. Where I lived, a gas-filled bottle with a lit cloth wick, a Molotov cocktail, was often tossed into corner mailboxes. From a 30,000-foot perspective, when I was born, World War II had recently ended. By 1952, we were enmeshed in Korea. Then we found ourselves mired in this other Asian country, Vietnam. By 1968, I was myself there in that place wearing army green. From the 40s forward, there was a plethora of violence connected with civil rights. People were murdered, lynched. A president, a presidential candidate, the leader of the civil rights movement were assassinated. Attempted assassinations happened to three other presidents. Another candidate was severely wounded while campaigning. So, did you know the crime rate today is lower than it's been since the mid-1960s? The crime rate today is lower than it's been since the mid-1960s. Did you know that? Or is the buzz of the culture drowning that out? Those thrilling days of yesteryear were not thrilling. Here's a reality. No matter what anyone says, earlier times were in no way the best of times. To insist otherwise is to live in a cartoon fantasy. Now that I've stressed the downside, let me tell you the other side of the same coin. Some of my incredible positive experiences. One of my dad's best friends, another teacher at the Jesuit high school where they both taught, Don Kennedy, was also the basketball coach. In 1948, the school's team won the National Schoolboy Championship. Kennedy was soon recruited to coach at St. Peter's College. His teams made five appearances in the National Invitational Tournament, the NIT. Don also owned a Catholic summer camp in East Hampton, Long Island, which catered to very wealthy families. In the summers, my parents worked there but were not paid. Instead, their children went to camp for free. I got to see how what we very euphemistically call the other half lives. Note, the other half is a euphemism since we're talking about less than 2%. Through the camp, my parents became friendly with the chief engineer at the UN. So when I was 11, I had a personalized tour of the UN, toured areas in which the public was not allowed, such as the floor of the General Assembly Hall. Another contact was Leon Leonidoff, 42 years the producer of the stage shows at Radio City Music Hall. I got to go backstage, had a personal tour. I will never forget looking up at the big movie screen from behind. I could hear the audience reactions and see actors who appeared to be 30 feet tall as I watched the screen from the wrong side. Later, I worked for the Actors Fund of America. Academy Award-winning actress Beatrice Straight, who was wealthy before she was famous, was on the board. At a dinner meeting in her townhouse, I mentioned I was having a hard time getting a staged reading for a play I had written. She said, "I'll arrange it." The next day, I got a call from the executive director of a prestigious nonprofit theater who asked what I needed. All that is the other side of my life. And what was life like from the 30,000 foot level? We put a human on the moon. We developed computers to get us there. You probably have a computer which is descendant from that computer we use to put people on the moon in your pocket right now. A cell phone. And like it or not, our culture dominates the worlds of art, science, commerce. This is what we hear in Luke Acts, in the section called Acts. One of the women was named Lydia. She was devout, a worshiper of God. She carefully listened to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and was a dealer in purple cloth. Perhaps I've had a strange life, but our lives, our world, is not simple. The world is not a cartoon. Life is not a cartoon, though some might try to convince us of that. Life cannot be pigeonholed and is hard to define or explain and happens on many levels. And so, to reduce life to easily repeatable slogans, to reduce life to cartoons, is to diminish the reality of life, its hardships, its joys. Our tendency, the tendency of our culture is to reduce the stories and the people in Scripture to slogans, cartoons. After all, did you not know the followers of Jesus, the followers of the way, were poor, uneducated, and lived in rural areas? That is what our culture wants us to believe, that the followers of the way were poor, uneducated, and largely lived in rural areas. But no, they were not poor, not uneducated, and they largely did not live in rural areas. You see, in New Testament times, 90% of the population lived in what you and I would call slavery. An even smaller percentage could read and write. Illiteracy was rampant. But the New Testament was written and circulated by literate, well-educated people. The story we heard said Paul goes to Philippi, a big city, to share the word. Then Paul goes to Rome, which had about 1.5 million people in that era. Paul goes there to share the word. And yet, Paul wrote these letters to specific cities. None of those churches in those cities to which Paul was writing was larger than about 75 people. This is a very small number of people. And who is this Lydia? She sells purple cloth. That means she's wealthy. Purple cloth is worn only by people of wealth and stature. This is a lucrative business. Further, in this society, which is patriarchal, no spouse is mentioned. She is the head of the household. That is radical. pretend she can get away with it. Why? Probably because she has wealth and stature. What does all this say about the followers of the way? It says our cartoon version of Scripture is at best inaccurate. So, why have I brought this up in my penultimate sermon? It is my penultimate sermon, you see, because next week we have Music Sunday, the week after that we have Intergenerational Sunday, and then I get to preach one more time. This is my penultimate sermon. Why do I bring this up? I love Scripture. I respect Scripture. But our society has little time or even use for the realities of life we find in Scripture. It much prefers to treat Scripture as a series of slogans, cartoons. In that way, our society undermines both the reality of Scripture and tries to undermine the reality of our lives. Our lives are not simple. Our world is not simple. Life is not a cartoon, though some might try to convince us of that. Life cannot be pigeonholed. Life is hard to define, hard to explain, and happens on many levels. So to reduce life to easily repeatable slogans, to reduce life to cartoons, is to diminish the reality of life and its hardships and its joys. We need to take Scripture seriously. Taken seriously, Scripture has two parts, stories and theology. Its stories describe how complex life really is. Scripture, however, is not about the stories. To believe that would be to reduce Scripture to a cartoon. The stories in Scripture are merely a vehicle to convey theology. Let me say that again. The stories in Scripture are a vehicle to convey theology. Therefore, Scripture is about theology and only about theology. That leads to these questions. Since this is a story of Paul's mission, what is that mission? And what is the theology found therein? Paul's mission is not, repeat, not to make converts. Paul's mission is to share the word. Please note, Lydia listens. Lydia converts herself through listening. Paul does nothing but share. We you and I convert no one. People convert themselves. Just as Paul did, we should simply share the word. And yes, Paul simply shared the word in an environment that was hostile to the word. Far be it from me to draw a similar parallel. And what is the word of God? Well, that's the theology, isn't it? And I can guarantee what the theology says. God loves us. God invites us to love one another and to share as we live through life's joys, through life's hardships. You see, there is nothing slogan-like or cartoonish about the love of God. So, my next to last message here is this. Please, love Scripture. Please, respect Scripture. Please, take Scripture seriously. How can you do that? Please share God's love. Amen.